coming out of the book of Matthew, chapter 16, starting at verse number 13. Matthew 16, verse 13. It was read this morning, but I'm going to read it one more time. Get into our lesson. And it reads, "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' So they said, 'Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Simon Peter answered and said, 'You are the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered and said to him, 'Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it.'" Let us pray. Our gracious God, we are so honored. A privileged people we are, Lord God, to know your love, to know your matchless love that sent your one and only Son to die, Lord, that we might be saved, that we might be spared from the wrath against sin and unrighteousness, that we not only be spared, Lord God, but to know the very God that created us and the very purpose for which we were created, and that's to know you. We're grateful for this opportunity, Father God, and as your word is spoken, dear God, may you be glorified, Lord God, as we are edified to understand your ways. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Christ and his church is the prevailing theme of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. We see this theme running throughout. In some circles, it is referred to as God's eternal plan. The Apostle Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." That is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. So this morning we will be examining this thing from our text and several other passages in order to deepen our understanding of what it is all about. As the Lord wills, we can make application to our lives as individuals and as a body. Let us look at our text. Starting at verse number 13. Matthew 16. "When Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, 'Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?' So they said, some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others one of the prophets. He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?'" There's a vast amount of opinions and perspectives concerning the identity of Jesus today. Good moral teacher, prophet, mighty spirit man, angel, and the list goes on and on and on. Even the disciples responded according to what they heard and what they understood. But for the purpose of our lesson, I wanted to focus on the church. Who do we say that he is? This is going to define us as a church. Do we know our God? For that is the defining marker of the church. That is the distinction that makes us different from every other organization or religion or church, whatever it is. The question is posed not only to these disciples in this particular time, but to all men for all time. And how each individual responds to this question literally will determine their eternal fate. Christ, who is he? Obviously, have those that have been saved and those that have known his love and his redemption, we know to some degree. We know what he has revealed to us through his word. We know that his love is shed abroad in our hearts, according to the Apostle Paul, by the Spirit of God for those who have received his word. We know that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the word of God. Let us consider five truths according to the scripture about Christ and who he is. And what does this mean for us? Going back to the beginning, he is our creator. He is the creator of all things. Colossians tells us that by him and through him all things were made. John tells us without him nothing was made that was made. In Genesis chapter 1, verse number 26, it says, "Then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. This is the very God who created us. Each and every man. The psalmist said, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, and all that live upon it. He founded it upon the waters." All men, and he tells us through the prophet Ezekiel, he says, "All souls are mine, the soul of the Father as well as the soul of the Son." All things belong to God. We talked about it this morning. He is sovereign over all of the nations by virtue of the fact that he established it with his own hands. He created all things and he sustains all things. He is God. He set each and every star in his place and he called each one by name. He numbered every hair on our head. He placed every breath in our body. He knows our going out, according to the psalmist, and our coming in. He knows every thought that we will think before we think it. He is God. He has all knowledge and all power and all wisdom and all authority. There is nothing that is not subject to him. He is God. And for the church, that is glorious news, is it not? Because this God we can know. We can literally know this God. Apart from Christ coming down and revealing himself, we would never have known him, and we were doomed to our own destruction. We were bound for hell before Christ came and revealed himself and said, "I am your Savior. Turn to me and be saved, for I am God, and beside me there is no other. Look to me and live. Come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest." The only thing that God desires is that we know who he is. Before anything else, God's plan was to be known of his creation. And we see that throughout the scriptures. Why come down if you don't want to be known? Why leave the glories of heaven and all of its splendor and all of its majesty just to come down to subject yourself to every facet of the human experience, to be rejected by your own creation? Why do that? Because he wants to be known by those that would desire to know him. So our lesson today, if you can know God, for our lesson today, if you're going to have a conviction, make the conviction that you want to know your God. That was the Apostle Paul's conviction. He said, all of who I was as a persecutor of the church, all of who I was, a Hebrew of the stock of Israel, highly educated, zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But he said at the end of that mattered, none of that mattered when he met Christ on the road to Damascus. And his one conviction became to know God. He said, "I want to know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in his suffering. We can't love a God, and God commands us to love him, right? He commands us to trust him. But we can't love or trust a God that we don't know. So he says, seek what? First. Seek first. Seek to know his love. Seek to know his righteousness, his purity, his holiness, his beauty, and all that he is for all of eternity. And this is what we have access to. All of the wisdom for eternity. And if you lack wisdom, ask of God, who gives liberally and does not hold back. Ask and you shall be given. Seek and it shall be you find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. God opens his very heart to us and allows us to enter into his presence. He sustains us. Take a look at Job chapter 12. In Job chapter 12, the Bible says, "For now ask the beast, and they will teach you, and the birds of the air, they will tell you, or speak to the earth, and it will teach you, and the fish of the sea will explain to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this, in whose hand is the life of every living creature and the breath of all men?" Time. Even the basis of creation, the animals, the fish, the trees, the wind, they know, they operate because on the basis of their creator. So man, sometimes in his folly, he resists. When God said, "Let there be light," light didn't argue. When he gave the seas their boundary, he said, "Stop and go no further." Job chapter 38. Even the winds and the waves obey him. And I've heard it said that creating the entirety of the universe was nothing like redeeming sinful man. Because all in the beginning, all God had to do was spoke and say a word, and it just happened. But when it comes to men, we are stubborn and resistant. We rebel and we resist. So God has his hands full with us, and all he wants from us is that we might know him, know his love, know his power, know his redemption, know him and walk with him, and walk with him in love. Hebrews chapter 1. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things. Through him also he made the worlds. He being the brightness of his glory and express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power. When he had by himself purged our sins, sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. He redeemed us for the purpose that we might know him. So he is our creator, and he sustains us, and he is our ruler, as we talked about this morning. Look at Daniel chapter 4. Verse number 35. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He does according to his will in the army of heaven and in among the inhabitants of the earth. No one can restrain his hand or say to him, "What have you done?" He is God. He rules and He reigns, not only the earth, but all of creation, all of the universe. The stars have their motion because of Him. The galaxies are held together by His power. He said He upholds all things by the word of His power. And that includes our lives. So if we are fretful, fearful of all of the things that's going on around us, just know that God is in control. And just know that all things work together for the good. For those that love God and are called according to His purpose. And understand this, that though evil and darkness surrounds us and it only is going to get progressively worse, we have the knowledge of our Savior that we can rejoice in, that we can have peace in. This is where the peace comes from. This is our hope. This is our peace. This is our lives. This is why we can rejoice even though everything around us is crumbling. Because our God, He sits in the heavens and He does whatever pleases Him. And it pleased Him to crush His own Son that we might know who He is, that He might reveal Himself to us. Romans chapter 9. Starting at verse 19, it reads, "You will say to me then, why does he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? What if God wanted to show his wrath to make his power known, endured with much long suffering in the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he had prepared beforehand for glory? Even us, whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." Verse 25, "As he also said in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not my beloved." He has claimed us. The God of the universe, though we rebelled and though we resisted, though we at times shook our fist at him, and I'm not saying personally, I'm saying generally as a mankind, we've all been in a state of rebellion, and some of us still are. But he tells us through the prophet Jeremiah, "I have loved you with an everlasting love, and with loving kindness have I drawn you." And to come sit at the feet of your Savior, know his love for you, know his power to save, know his desire is for your good, and that you would share in his eternal glory. He created us, he sustains us, and he rules over us. And he is also our judge. Take a look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse number 13. "Let us hear the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is man's all. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether good or evil." The eyes of the Lord are everywhere, according to the proverb writer. He's looking. And now he's not looking to strike us down every time we make a mistake, but he's watching our lives to see if we really want to know who he is. And if it's the desire of our heart to know our God, then God can be and will be pleased with our lives. Because with a heart that desires to know him, he can work in that heart. He can sanctify and purify that heart. That's the purpose. Jeremiah chapter 17, starting at verse number 5. Thus says the Lord, curses the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from the Lord. For he shall be like a shrub in the desert, and shall not see when good comes, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land which is not inhabited. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord, for he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spread out its roots by the river, and will not fear when heat comes. But its leaf will be green, and will not be anxious in the year of drought, nor will cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the hearts. I test the minds, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So every day that we have is an opportunity. Every breath that we draw is an opportunity. Every beat of our heart, every time we rise, if God allows us to rise, he says, turn to me. And every day our lives are in the hands of this God who only desires. And the fact that we are here today is a pure act of sheer grace. The fact that we are drawing breath is an act of his grace. And it tells us of his desire to be known. Because again, there was another fate for us. And it's called hell. Burning forever because of sin. Because of the evil nature that only knows destruction. That only knows deceit. And that's in every man. This is what we come into. A world full of sin and wickedness and rebellion. And our hearts are drawn to this from the time we leave our mother's womb. Now we won't get into, you know, where the children are born sinners. We know that's not the case. But every man has sinned, and that's all it takes is one. All have sinned, and all fall short of the glory of God. And the soul that sins shall surely die. The soul that sins shall surely be separated from this creator that gave his very life that we would not encounter such a fate, but that we would be with him and know his love and know his glory for all of eternity. He is our Savior. Isaiah chapter 43, verse number 11, Even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and saved, I have proclaimed, and there was no foreign God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, says the Lord, that I am God. Indeed, before the day was, I am he, and there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake, And I'll stop there because you guys get the point. He is the Savior. Paul says he is the Savior of the body. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12. There's no other name under heaven by which men must be saved. And he made it very exclusive. He said, I am the only one. You can't even save yourself. But he can save you if you turn your heart to him. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. There is no other Savior. There is no other hope. There is no other life. There is no other truth. There's nothing. Nothing in this world for us. He is our only hope. There's no hope. Relationships end, loved ones die. We lose jobs, career, homes, material things. These things come and go. But our God stands forever as the ultimate lover of our souls. This would seemingly be an impossible task. And when they asked him, then who can be saved? Jesus said, well, man, this is impossible. With God, all things are possible. He tells us through the prophet Jeremiah, I am the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Even the most rebellious and sinful of men can be saved simply by calling on the name of the God, of our God. He says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, Revelation 22 and 13. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Revelation 17 and 19. He is all that. So why at times is it so difficult when all he desires is to be known? All he desires is to love us and to show us the way of life. This is God's only desire. Like, he doesn't need us to do anything for him. He's God. He told Job, where were you when I was laying the earth's foundations? I didn't need your help to do any of this. When I was setting the stars in their place, where were you? I created you. I don't need you. You need me. I am God. He doesn't need us to do anything. He wants us to share in his glory. He wants us to know his love. He wants us to love him and to know the love that he's had for all of eternity, that he shares in the triune God. This is why he came. This message is primarily meant for the church. However, these things apply to all men. The gospel is for all. The Bible says, whosoever wills. This has been God's plan in all of eternity to save those that will receive him. For he who is, receive him for who he is. And as we search the scriptures in our quest to know him, he reveals himself as the one who loves us with an everlasting love, a love that sent Christ to the earth to pay the penalty for sin for all who would believe. If you are not a member of the Lord's church, you stand condemned before a holy and righteous judge and a powerful king and a holy Savior. And if you have any reason in you whatsoever, you realize that this is not the state you want to be in. Especially since the Lord has been so gracious as to offer a way of escape. If you are a member of the church and have failed in any way to acknowledge our God for who he is, You can make that right today. Repent. Turn to Christ. Be saved. Be reconciled. If there be any at this time, come.
Thy cause may they ring.